This week on the Cube Critics podcast, something a little different. Stephanie Curtis and I are going to talk about a movie, not with each other or even with the filmmaker, but the subject herself, Katherine Gunn, in Official Secrets. This is Cube Critic Ewan Kerr. The new Keira Knightley movie, Official Secrets, tells the story of an individual caught in a moral quandary, which she believes could shape the future of the world. In the early 2000s, Katherine Gunn worked at GCHQ, a kind of digital listening post for British intelligence, which monitored signals from around the world. In that job, she learned of a US government request to help find information from UN Security Council members which could be used to pressure those countries into support an invasion of Iraq. Gunn believed the action was illegal and could result in a war with global implications. Her position was complicated because she, like all the other employees at GCHQ, had signed the British Official Secrets Act, which puts lifelong restrictions on what she could reveal about her work. The film lays out what she did and the consequences she faced. Katherine Gunn joined me and Stephanie Curtis to talk about her decision and what it's like to see that story on screen. A question, just for people who have no idea of what the Official Secrets Act is, could you tell us, just in a nutshell, what is this law and why is it important?
Well, the Official Secrets Act was brought in as a blanket coverage on all British intelligence services and some probably civil servants to prevent them from exposing any information from within their organizations. And it's one of the most draconian secrecy laws in the world.
And it applied to you why?
Well, when you join any organization, they require within the intelligence services, they require you to sign the Official Secrets Act, and once you sign that, you are bound to it for the rest of your life. So I began working at GCHQ, which stands for the Government Communication Headquarters, which is the equivalent of the US's NSA, and I was a Mandarin linguist and linguist translator and analyst. And so I started working there in January 2001.
So you'd been working there for a couple of years when the incidents that brought you to become a person portrayed by Keira Knightley in a movie happened. What exactly happened?
After Afghanistan had been attacked and invaded, you know, everyone around me, and I think this was pretty much across the board, when Iraq was mentioned as a country that was going to be targeted in the quote-unquote war on terror, it immediately made me think, why on earth are they focusing on Iraq? What has Iraq got to do with this war on terror? And so, you know, I immediately started focusing on the news a lot more. And then I became, you know, very concerned about the rhetoric and the way they were sort of, Bush and Blair were amping up their sort of aggressive posturing towards Iraq. And so at one point I bought a couple of books which went into great detail about how Iraq was being targeted, how Iraq actually didn't have any functioning weapons of mass destruction or anything of that sort, and why there was no legitimate reason to attack Iraq. And then on January 31st of 2003, I was sitting at my work desk in GCHQ, and I received an email from NSA. I wasn't the only one. It went to approximately 100 other people within GCHQ, and it was a direct request from NSA to GCHQ, and it asked us to basically collect all the information, all the communications, domestic and office communications, of six of the swing nations that were sitting on the UN Security Councils. And they were fairly small nations. Bulgaria, I can't remember all of them at the minute, mm-hmm. but, you know, they were pretty small nations that, you know, we not many of us have heard of. And I immediately thought, what was the reason for this? And they wanted, quote unquote, this is direct from the email, the whole gamut of information that would give U.S. policy makers an edge in achieving results favorable to U.S. goals, unquote. And that was, you know, that message immediately made me think that what the goal was, what the U.S. goal was to get the U.N. resolution to vote yes to authorize an invasion of Iraq. That was the ultimate goal. And so I immediately thought this was something that, you know, the general public should know about.
So
because it was
the underlying idea being that the information that you were being asked to find would be used to essentially blackmail certain individuals into changing their votes.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I mean ultimately that what they meant by the whole gamut of information was just anything you could dig up on the delegates of these six swing nations that were sitting on the UN Security Council. So that, you know, exactly, to blackmail or bribe or threaten them to vote for this UN resolution.
How long did it take you to decide to do something about, how long did it take you to take that first step that brought you to bringing this out to the public?
So this was a Friday, and it immediately created a commotion in me. You know, I was very much concerned about the email, and I really felt it was explosive. I felt it really had the potential to derail the whole process of legitimizing the invasion of Iraq. So I went home that weekend and I thought about it, and I contacted somebody I knew, and I said, look, I have something which is potentially explosive. Do you think you can get it out for me? And they said, yes, okay, send it to me. So the following Monday, I went into work, and that's the scene that you see where Keira Knightley is printing it out. And that's what I did on Monday. I printed it out and put it in my handbag. And that evening, I posted it out to this contact.
Wait, which I have to say, if I could just briefly interrupt, seemed like an extremely low-tech way of doing this, and remarkable that you could get away with it.
Well, it's not so remarkable. I mean, we're talking about 2003, you know, so, you know, there's no WikiLeaks. And within GCHQ, you know, the computer system is a total internal network, so it is not on the World Wide Web. Nobody had memory, you know, flash drives or anything like that. There was nothing of that sort. And taking things out in your handbag, we weren't routinely searched, so it was not something. Although I was terrified because I immediately knew that I was breaking the Official Secrets Act, and I was doing something I was not supposed to do. But actually, the chances of being searched were extremely low.
One thing, another thing we should perhaps put into context is that while the war here had a large amount of popular support, That was definitely not true in the United Kingdom. And one of the things that was happening around about that same time was this enormous march where, depending on who you believe, it was between 500,000 and 2 million people on the streets of London protesting against this. But you must have felt very, very alone doing this, despite all those people out on the streets.
Well, actually, I think the protests were universal. I mean, there were protests everywhere, in the U.S., in Europe, across the world, right? It was the biggest global mobilization in history. There were people in the U.S. that supported the war, but I would argue that had a lot to do with the heavy amount of propaganda that was being pumped out in the U.S. media. However, I felt alone in a way because I couldn't tell anybody. I had nobody to confide in. The contact that I'd mailed it to said, do not contact me from here on in. You know, we will not discuss this ever again. And I did go on the march, the London march, and I was just astounded at the number of people who turned out. So in a way, actually, I thought, it doesn't matter what I did because the people have spoken, right? It seemed to me like there was such a massive amount of anti-war sentiment that at the very least Tony Blair would have to tone things down and have a rethink.
We went to war, and it's been times have changed a lot. What lessons do you want people to take from the film today, from your actions from 2003?
Well, I think it's not just my actions. You know, it's interesting because I've done a few conferences and Q&A sessions after screenings of the film. And what has come out in a couple of these Q&As is people saying, you know, we just have to do our jobs properly. So, okay, from a whistleblower point of view, if you come across information that your company or your organization or your if you're working for the government, if you come across information that something is very wrong, they're doing something wrong, and furthermore, they're denying it or they're not addressing it, then I would encourage people in that position to think long and hard about whether they want to go ahead and let it lied and not act on it, or whether they are prepared to bring this information out into the open. Because, you know, in the long term, you have to live with that decision that you've made for the rest of your life. And if there are catastrophic consequences from not bringing that information forward, that will be on your conscience. Then the other issue that this film brings out, I think, is how, and I think Martin Bright, the journalist who is one of the journalists who brings the story out, you know, his message is that all of the institutions in the UK and in the US were undermined by this. They were not functioning as they should have been. And so this is another thing that the film, I think, addresses, and that there are many angles. Every time we have discussions, we always end up saying this film has so many different angles that you can pursue.
We do a lot of stuff about film, so we have to ask you this question. I get the impression that you're not someone who really enjoys the limelight. And so the idea of having a movie made about you, how do you feel about that?
It's both unreal and scary. But, you know, it's been 17 years since this happened. And I would say if anybody had tried to make a movie like up to 10 years ago, it would have been pretty traumatic. Now I have the distance, the time distance, and a degree of maturity, I think, that, you know, becoming a parent and so on, and just becoming, you know, now I'm 45. So there's, I'm dealing with it, let's just say, at the moment.
You mentioned at the beginning, as we were talking about the Official Secrets Act, that this covers you for life.
That's right.
How's that working for you now?
Well, as far as I know, I'm not revealing anything that I that is secret. You know, so I'm not divulging anything new.
I just wanted to make sure we're all safe.
Yeah.
Catherine Gunn, we'd like to say thank you very, very much for talking to us today.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Catherine Gunn, who's portrayed by Keira Knightley in the new movie, Official Secrets. This is the Cube Critics Podcast. I'm Ewan Kerr. Thanks for listening.